So now we're going to go back to famous Charleston, and reminding you that the famous Charleston is going to wants to take the choreography that he's created over the years and put it in a non-exempt trust. So the variable here to the framework, again, is this intellectual property nugget. And the question that the company and famous have to wrestle with is who owns this choreography? The choreography is a copyrightable work. And under the work made for hire doctrine, an employee who creates a copyrightable work that is within the course of his or her employment, the employer owns that work. So when famous Charleston was choreographing the dances, was he doing it within the course of his employment, in which case the company owned it, or given that he's a part-time employee, did he actually do this on his own time? Now, you know, if the company had come to us at the very beginning of its life, we would have said, you know, think really hard about this before, you know, famous creates anything. You really want to think about who owns what and establish a record right from the beginning of what your intent is. You know, in fact, this type of issue has happened with some very famous choreographers who find out they don't own their choreography because they've been employees of the organization for whom they're choreographing. But obviously, if there's no real evidence that, you know, famous intended to own this choreography and did it on his own time, you know, we're really looking at a situation where the company would have to sell famous the choreography if famous is going to put it in a non-exempt trust. And obviously, that's an intermediate sanctions, excess benefit transaction potential. And so, you know, you're going to have a somewhat difficult valuation problem because, you know, it's not that easy to value choreography. And this would be the type of situation where we would say you need to hire a third party appraiser who really understands the value of copyrightable works before you sell this to famous. Now, if famous, on the other hand, wants the company to continue and he's going to license the work back to the company so that they can continue to do their, fulfill their mission, that's just another aspect of the valuation that needs to be considered. The famous, as I said in the opening, also wants to publish a book about the company history and the history that inspired the dances. And he wants to use photographs that were taken at the company, and the company would like to sell the book. Once again, we're right into, you know, a potential excess benefit transaction. We have photographs and memorabilia that have value. And so is the company going to need to value those and charge famous a license fee in order to use them? If the company sells it on its website, do they also need to get a royalty from famous or some sort of compensation so that, you know, they famous isn't in a situation where there's an excess benefit transaction? Same if the company is monetizing the famous Charleston brand, again, there's a question about who owns the mark. It's famous Charleston's name, and he, but who trademark use arises from use, or trademark rights arise from use. So did anybody think about who owned that trademark? And has the company actually registered that mark? So, you know, this would be another area where you have a potentially tricky valuation issue and a question of ownership to work through.
I'm going to go off script here for a second because this conversation actually reminds me of another way that private benefit and potentially inurement issues can come up on the IP front that isn't necessarily around art or something a little bit more, you know, tangible like that. A few years ago, there was a pretty high profile case where, incident really, I don't believe it became a case, that hit the front pages of the Chronicle of Philanthropy, where a woman had created an LLC that was designed to help young girls find joy in a particular sport, that she later created a nonprofit and then licensed the name of the LLC to the nonprofit. The nonprofit in turn took the idea nationwide, and it became very successful. And the founder wanted to, after a few years, leave the nonprofit and offered to sell the rights to the name to the nonprofit for several million dollars, sort of as a parachute payment.